I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Tips for Truthers. This one today actually isn't on my list. You know, I got my document up. I was looking through the list of tips that I've already done in the past, and which I'm kind of rehashing 2 years after the fact today. And I was reading through them, and something kind of just came to me. And I think I want to riff on this idea now. And it's not really a complete thought, but it's definitely something I think needs to be understood by young, budding conspiracy theorists who have just woken up for the first time. And I think it's... I know it's going to get taken the wrong way immediately by many people listening. Likely the ones who have just begun to research are probably going to be most angry. And those who are perhaps out in the streets fighting on a daily basis and going to protest perhaps are in that kind of mindset. But the tip is this. So but hear me out first. I'm going to call this, you can't save the world. Okay. And let me elaborate before you bite my head off and tell me I'm an absolute pacifist loser who's given up and is going to let them win because you're not willing to fight, all that type of nonsense. And I think maybe you can get a bit of perspective and hope when you hear what I'm trying to say here. And I'm not trying to make things seem nihilistic or terrible when I tell you this. I'm trying to be realistic and give you, the individual, the ability to actually have a happy life in this corrupt world in some small way. And I kind of imagined a lot of analogies to kind of explain all of this. And I think the Christian perspective can help a lot with understanding this as well, and why it was Jesus Christ who came to save the world. And even then, that doesn't mean actually saving the land we live on necessarily, or the culture that we currently support up as the best and the only way. He comes to renew the earth at the end of all this, yes, and give us a new heavens and earth at the end of it all. But he also comes to kind of destroy the world of corruption that's been built around us. And I think many people who are like fresh to waking up in the conspiracy world, they want to fight. They learn that there are secret societies and hidden hands in the shadows of society at high levels who own a disproportionate amount of the wealth and resources, having this agenda to literally subjugate humanity and corral them and lead them like cattle down paths which lead to genocide, death, servitude, and submission to an ideological regime that people would not follow given the choice. You learn all this stuff. You learn it all, and you learn about literally the heinous things that are being done to the most innocent in our society by these satanic, disgusting people. And you get angry. I get it. You get really angry. You do. And I was there, you know, in my early days being on YouTube, I was making videos where I was kind of like screaming and lambasting at like anyone who would dare to try and justify the worst possible behavior in society through silly articles. You know what I mean? I can't really talk about it because I'll know I'll get a strike and that'll cause problems for the channel, but the worst type of disgusting behavior was trying to be normalized during this time through mainstream sources, and I was having none of it. And I got angry and I was fighting, and pushback was sent my way, and the videos I made were mass disliked within like 5 minutes by like 60 people, which is impossible by YouTube standards because the system was not happy with that pushback, you know. And then strikes were appearing and all sorts of things, and you get even more angry and you just want to keep going, no, screw you. you want to fight the man, you know, you want to tear down these systems. And I think there is a place for these small battles in small areas where you can make a difference, you know, small victories against corruption. And I think if you're in a position where you can fight against something local, something close to you, close to home, something you actually can tangibly get involved with and make a difference within, then do it by all means. That's a good idea. You know, it's those small victories that add up to the big victory at the end of the day. But if you've woken up and you think it's your duty to save the whole world and you're going to systematically change everything, and you are feeling obliged or encouraged to join in on mass protests or riots, let's say, or even, you know, you have these ideas in your mind like, we need to kill them all. We need to actually start a revolution. We need to fight physically and rise up with arms. And like, we need to, and like, until they're swinging on ropes, like, nothing will change, that type of attitude, you know. If you're getting into that zone, then I would say, actually, you're playing into their hands once you're there. Because much of the externalization of the hierarchy, which is an agenda being played against us, is to let us know about what they're doing. They are drip-feeding information for us to discover, to learn that they do exist and they do have these agendas. And it's twofold. I think they want a portion of the population to get angry and to start rebellions and revolutions and destabilizing movements that can quite literally just destroy everything and cause a reset, in a sense, you know, because that's how they kind of progress their ideologies. They cause destruction and then they rebuild from the ashes a new regime, which they call the New World Order, from those ashes. And if you've been pissed off and believe you are righteous and going out there and actually start fighting and killing people, then actually you are really helping them in a big way. And that's, I think this is why Jesus Christ goes out and says, you know, leave it to me to deal with the tares from the wheat at the harvest time. It's not up to you to decide from your perspective who is and isn't good or evil. You know, leave it to God, in a sense. And I think there's wise advice in that understanding that you really, from our perspective, we make mistakes. And when mankind tries to build utopia themselves off their own opinions and ideas and attitudes, we usually end up creating genocide. Millions of people usually end up dying. Communism is a great example of this, you know, the 20th century. You know, they went out there and they were trying to create this utopic world where all the wealth was distributed evenly between everybody and everybody worked equally and there was no class systems anymore. And, you know, the many facets of socialism and communism. But what it really results in is a degraded civilization and society, cut corners, low standards, and genocide. That's what it always ends up in. And it's kind of like the eternal refrain of humanity. It's like when people take it upon themselves to change the world and say, this system is the one that's going to work and we're going to implement it and force it on people because I know what's best. That's when destruction and death usually quickly follows because we are so heavily flawed. So that's kind of, I guess I've read off this like collective humanity. And when humanity gets into a group and tries to change the world, it usually ends up in a bad way, especially when like God is not in the equation, when the whole we answer to a higher power understanding and concept isn't looming over us, then we tend to make radical decisions which result in pain, misery, death, and destruction. It's kind of the eternal refrain of mankind. And I find the best kind of way to tackle the problem of the world needing saving is to not try and save it at all, but instead to work on yourself as an individual and to help those around you in your immediate surroundings better themselves and find peace and happiness in their existence. And if we all collectively did that, the world would actually become a better place. And it doesn't require like a revolutionary movement, in a sense. It doesn't require any blood to be spilled. And we have to remember not all, there's a physical aspect to this. There's a boot on our necks aspect to all of this, which is very physical and real and dangerous and terrifying. Don't get me wrong. But the majority of the control that's against us is psychological. We are in a prison that's where the jail door is unlocked most of the time. We keep ourselves in prison by listening to them playing their games and through fear. And I've explained this in other videos, that if we just kind of turned off their propaganda machines, we would no longer be swayed to their spells or under any illusions anymore. And we would probably see reality for what it is. And we'd probably chill out a lot more because we're not completely being bombarded with fear all the time. Because when we're in a state of fear, we're not making sensible decisions. And they know that. So that's what the news cycle is to keep you locked into a perpetual cycle of fear. Right now, the latest perpetual fear cycle is aeroplanes are falling out of the sky and it's not safe to fly anymore. And there's been many different problems with this recent 787 crash. All other planes from the Boeing 787 have had technical issues too. And it's kind of, you know, in the culture of the West, where it's kind of holidays, maybe one to two times a year on a plane are the norm. That just gives that new underlying sense of fear for the daily basis. And now people are anxious for their upcoming break you know, you've worked hard, you've paid for a break from it all with your family, we can just disconnect and unplug and be free and happy for a short period of time, and now you can't even enjoy that, can you, because you're worried that your plane's going to fall out of the sky. And that's what they do, that's how they do it. But if you just kind of turned all that stuff off, the fear would be removed, the thoughts wouldn't be there, the spells wouldn't be there. So a bit of a tangent there, but back to the point, you know, you can't save the world, and it's not that even that the world even needs saving necessarily, it's that people need to change. People need to be saved. And this is the Christian message. The world's going to burn. The world is temporary. The world is vanity. It's all vanity. What profit have a man, you know, who gains the whole world but lose his soul? What, all the labor under the sun is just sand running through the fingers. It means nothing. We can be rich one day, you can be poor the next, you can lose it all in a second. Life here is arbitrary. Pain and suffering is arbitrary, happiness is fleeting, and enjoy it while it's there, but don't live life chasing after such things, because nothing in this world will bring you satisfaction or happiness. What we all have is a God-shaped hole in our body that stuff cannot fill. A relationship with the Father is what fulfills those deep-rooted desires and needs for peace, but we are trained to try and fill it with stuff instead. So we feel this urge in us because of the way we've been kind of raised to defend the world, the thing that makes stuff that I can consume. So we have to keep it alive. And so we have, it's in us to want to have this drive to protect the status quo in a sense. And I think a lot of people have this nostalgic lie in their head, like, well, it was better back in my day when I was young, and now everything's got terrible and we need to go back to the way it was. I think every generation has that feeling too, but it's all kind of vanity at the end of the day to think we can save the world. And when people do try to take it upon themselves, like I said, to save the world, they create a movement, they create a group, they create a revolution, they overthrow, and then lots of people get killed and it's genocide. It always ends in genocide, every single time, dictatorship and genocide. And it's kind of pick your poison. Is it better to have the devil you know or the devil you don't know? That's the problem with this world. Like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So you need to kind of lose that perspective and not take part in the wars of other people's ideologies and other people's ideas, and find the peace and solitude, or the peace that comes with the solitude individual, knowing that I need to fix myself, I need to be saved, and I need to help others get there too. I think that will bring much more drastic and positive change to the world. It won't save it, but it can definitely change it for the better, at least in some small way. Because the problem is sin. People are pretty bad most of the time, and even when we do things with the best intentions, it ends in misery. You know, and someone gets hurt somewhere. It's kind of this in this world of resources and control, it's kind of someone's success always comes at the detriment of somebody's failure. Like, always someone's, that is checks and balances, unfortunately. That's the dualistic, corrupt nature of reality on this world. And I just feel like this whole I'm the one that's gonna save the world type of attitude is quite narcissistic as well. It breeds a bad attitude in people. It really does. And it creates an us against them mentality, and it creates a you're weak, I'm strong mentality, and it just makes people insufferable when they start getting into that mindset. But I get it. When you first learn how terrible everything is and how everyone wants to kill you, these people want to kill you at the top. Yeah, you get angry and you want to fight. But as I said, no matter what you do in this world, you actually make it worse when you have that lashing out reaction, and it actually helps them. As I explained earlier, they want us to react that way. They want us angry. They want us in a revolutionary way. Because as soon as we take that action to throw that Molotov or that rock through the window, then that action is going to be used to justify more control on you. Okay. It's like, well, this person threw a rock through the window in protest against X, Y, and Z. So now we need to ban rocks. And everyone will be like, yes, absolutely, rocks are the problem. That's just, again, that's an idea, because I can't talk about the real thing they use those examples for. But you know what I'm saying, okay? It's like a Chinese finger trap. The more you struggle, the tighter it gets. And letting go of the struggle and just trying your best to live your life as peaceably as you can and lovingly, you know, love one another, love thy neighbor, live through life forgiving people of their shortcomings and trying to help them instead. Go the extra mile. But this applies to the people around you. Not everyone in every other country all over the place. You are one person. And yes, one man can do amazing things, but you're not Jesus. You are not the Son of God. You're going to have limits. Okay, you are. And it's good to have the attitude that you are fearless and limitless and you can do what you need to do no matter what. No one's going to stop you. But you will hit roadblocks. You will have problems. You have struggles. And it's kind of, if you just let go of that pressure on yourself that I need to save the world, you can be happier, you can be more peaceful, and you can actually be useful and actually make differences in people's lives and change individuals and your own lives, which is where the world begins to see a difference, okay? Because what is it you're trying to save anyway when you go to these riots and these protests and you get violence? If he gets to that level, like, what are you actually doing then? What are you trying to defend? What are you defending? Because the world was always burning and the corruption was always there. It's been there for hundreds of years. It's been there since the beginning of time. And the systems that are in place are all evil. They're all corrupt to the core. So what are you defending? What are you fighting for? Like, realistically, what are you trying to save? And I think this is another why the Christian perspective helps us understand that we're not trying to build up treasures here on earth, but in heaven. It's not what happens here, it's what comes after this. Everything in this world is vanity, and it rusts, it turns to ashes. There's nothing here worth defending in terms of like systems, structures, buildings, societies and ways of building civilizations and money systems or whatever it is. All those things just sand through the fingers, ever shifting through the times. They're not worth defending and fighting for because the people who run all these things currently are corrupt as hell. And like I said, when mankind takes it upon themselves to change the system and build a new one, it always ends in genocide. Some big bad outgroup who caused all our problems gets murdered in a mass scale. And I know there's an angry group of people in the conspiracy world who really do want to blame a particular class of people solely as responsible for all the problems in the world. And they probably do want to kill them all. And I would say that's perfect. That's perfect for them. That's what they want. That's the point. They've done that on purpose. They have purposely riled you up against a particular class of people, group of people, whatever that is, and made you angry enough to want to kill them. And talk about killing them and even doing stupid things so they can then justify the next step in their agenda. Like, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not particular people who are our enemies. It's quite literally spiritual wickedness in high places. There are puppet masters in realms that are not physical that are messing with us in ways we cannot tangibly perceive that are our real enemies here. And if they can get us invested in the world, we've lost. And if you feel like I have to save the world, you've lost because you're invested in it. And it's not this world that matters. It's what you do in the world that matters. Okay? That's what counts. How did you treat your neighbor today? Did you play with your children today? Did you teach them something? What did you create today? Did you tend to your garden? Did you fix your car? Did you help your neighbor fix the leaky tap? Did you go down to the council meeting and, you know, get involved with whatever they were doing in your local area? Did you volunteer and help the homeless or the sick? Did you visit the widows? Did you make your immediate surroundings, your world, in order, beautiful? And did you create an environment that's loving and caring and conducive to something that produces quality for everybody around you? That's what you should be doing. That's how we save the world. Not through anger, not through violence, but through love. So this is what I'm saying. I'm not here to like make people pacifists and weak and to give the enemy a chance to defeat us, or whatever stupid comment I'm going to receive that tries to twist my words in that way. Because there will be, that will happen. It always does every time. Some people think I'm out here making these tips to make us weak. It's kind of, it's not weak to love one another. In fact, it's radical in this world. It's truly radical to be selfless in this reality, in this world that we live in. It's radical to not be violent. It's radical to not step on another to get ahead. It's radical to not put ourselves on pedestals or to think we're better than others, or to put the blame on another group and rather than looking at ourselves. That's radical. It's radical to say, no, I'm the problem. I need to change. The world isn't designed like that. The world is designed to be narcissistic and selfish and to look for number one and to look to put the blame on others and to step on others to get ahead. And your revolutionary overlay that I'm doing this for the greater good to save the world is no different. It's you trying to step on people to get ahead. When you get down to the brass tacks at the bottom of it all, that's what it really is. It's more of the same. It's not a change. Christ came to give a different message, something that was different from what everyone else had been doing in the past. You know, when Christ came, the people who were waiting for the Messiah thought it would be a warrior, somebody who would defeat the Romans in a revolution and give the world back to the Jews, you know, to Judea, and they would get to rule over everybody, you know, under this new leader. And what they got instead was Jesus preaching a completely different message, a radical message for the time and still for today. Of peace, love thy neighbor, you know, of pacifism. And no, there's room to flip tables, don't get me wrong, okay? And he certainly came with a sword in judgment, but in his time here as a person, he picked up his cross and he suffered. He lived a sinless life. He served others, including those who believed they should have been serving him. He washed their feet. And that's the example we kind of need to live by. And that's where change, true change, will come into the world. So there we go, guys. A tip for you. You're not going to save the world. You're not going to save it. Leave that to God. Save your world. Because it's a lot smaller than you think. Okay? And that immediate change in your immediate surroundings will have ripple effects that can affect everyone else around you who sees the example, and then more people who see that and want to emulate that. That's how the world changes. So there we go. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
I want you to get together.